Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with EPA Director of the Office of Acquisition Management, Judy Davis. Also joining us in our conversation is Pete Boyer. Judy, on the theme of people, which you've mentioned a couple times already, we talk with many of our guests about the pending wave of government retirement. Is this an issue for the EPA, and if so, how are you positioned to handle this?
Actually, I would say EPA probably has an older workforce than most other agencies. But nobody ever leaves EPA. When I first arrived at EPA, I went around and asked everybody, how long have you been at EPA? And I get 20 years, 25 years, 30 years. And I started wondering, why doesn't anybody ever leave? And so I asked people, why doesn't anybody ever leave EPA? The most frequent answer I got to that question was EPA's mission. People are absolutely passionate about EPA's mission and very committed to accomplishing that mission. And the second answer I got, quite frankly, was EPA is a great place to work. EPA takes care of its employees and is very people-focused. A friend of mine, a colleague, says that, you know, we shouldn't be so concerned about who is eligible to retire. What we really should be asking people is, when does your last kid graduate from college? And then we'd have much better metrics about who's going to retire when. Bottom line is, yes, EPA has as many folks that are eligible for retiring as the other agencies, but it's just not happening in the droves and droves that people have predicted it.
Now, Judy, you've made it clear the number one goal within your organization is competent employees, and clearly EPA is people-focused. How do you ensure that your employees have the appropriate training and skills?
Well, it's a huge challenge for us, as well as the rest of the field. Matter of fact, the Office of Federal Procurement Policy just came out with a recent policy called Developing and Managing the Acquisition Workforce. So it is very widespread among our discipline, trying to keep a competent workforce. And, of course, with the shrinking numbers, it's no secret that the contracting arena has hugely shrinking numbers, more so than a lot of other disciplines. In my shop, we take a multi-pronged approach. First, we have the hardcore technical skills. How do you spell contracts? What does it mean to be a contracting officer? And these are very regimented classes that are taken. I mentioned trying to have the normalcy of the discipline across the entire federal government. Department of Defense has the DAWEA requirements, and so this is pretty regimented. Besides the hardcore contracting courses, what we do to maintain our technical skills is we do have a lot of sharing of best practices and lessons learned around our shop. Beyond that, we say we want to make sure that our folks are well-rounded. It's not enough just to know how to spell contracts and to be good technically. It is equally important to have what we call life skills. Some people would call these the soft skills. Things like leadership, communication skills, conflict management, those sorts of things. And so we've taken on a very large initiative in our shop to ensure that our folks get the people skills and the leadership skills that they need to be solid, well-rounded staff, employees, and future leaders. It is my view that the best leaders are ones who grow new leaders, and that's why we focus so much on the life skills as well as the hardcore contracting skills. We try to make sure our folks have other developmental opportunities as well. We have a big emphasis on rotations and details. It's important for our folks to walk in the customer's shoes to understand what it's like to be in the program office. We've had rotations inside and outside EPA with other agencies, and yes, even with industry. There are some ethics concerns there, but you can work around those, and we've actually had some folks who've had the opportunity to do a stint with industry. In addition to all that, we do routine in-house training at different levels in the organization. We do training for the staff members on contracting issues to keep current, GAO protests, couple things like that. And we do management training. One of the big mistakes that people make, I think, in organizations is they take people who are very technically skilled, they put them in management positions, They don't give them any new tools to be successful, and then they wonder why the management isn't a dynamic management team. It's very critical for our managers to stay current as well as our staff. And so we have in-house management training. We just had training just within the past couple of weeks on the generational differences in the workplace, which is very, very interesting. Very interesting training, right? Because we've got a lot of the different generations, and let's face it, we are different. It's important to understand, recognize, and manage to those differences. The whole result of all this is that OAM takes great pride in turning out very, very high quality talent.
Judy, you told us a wonderful story of how you started your career. What advice would you have to a person who's starting a career in public service, or perhaps just reflecting on that day they sat on their grandfather's lap?
I would say what you got to think about if you're considering a government career is step back and consider the difference between the government and the private sector. Let's face it, the government and the private sector do not exist for the same purposes. Industry, the private sector companies exist because they want to make a profit. That's what drives their bottom line. The government is in the business of solving the most challenging and significant problems of the nation and, yes, of the world. And so I would advise folks that you should take that into account if you're choosing a career in public service. If you are looking to make the most money that you could make during your lifetime, don't come to the federal government. I would say go to the private sector because you can have the same level of responsibility and make a whole lot more money in the private sector than you do with the federal government. If you are looking for a place where you can have an enormous amount of responsibility, you can have an impact on the world around you and tackling some very, very tough worldwide problems and challenges, you can have a reasonable standard of living, you can maintain a quality life, but you can have an impact with significant responsibilities, I would say then consider the federal government. You make a decent living, you have a balanced life, you can tackle some very difficult challenges. The government has a public image problem. There is no question that the government has a public image problem. We've all heard the phrase, good enough for government work. It may come as a surprise that that phrase, when it was originally formed, was an indication of the high standards that government was held to. Today, we don't get that sense when we hear that phrase. And so my advice to you is, if you are a talented, energetic, dedicated individual, find an agency with a mission that you can be passionate about. Come join the world of federal service and make a difference.
Judy, thank you very much. We've reached the end of our time, and that'll have to be our last question. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule today, but most importantly, Pete and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to the public and our country in the various roles you've held at the EPA, NOAA, and the Navy.
Thanks a lot. I really enjoyed the conversation, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here today. If anybody in the listening world out there would like more information on EPA, come join us at epa.gov.
This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with the Director of the Office of Acquisition Management, Judy Davis, of the Environmental Protection Agency. Be sure to visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's fascinating conversation. Once again, that's businessofgovernment.org. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who can't hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.